talk a little NHL playoffs, and of course, goaltending. It's rather important. Kevin Woodley from In Goal Magazine, NHL.com, joins us as he always does every Monday. Woodley, how are you, my man?
I'm good. Hey, if that's Ryan Smith we're talking about, I'm in. As a goalie, that might be one of the few shots NHL level that I want to step in front of. He had the muffin.
Well, every now and then, though, he could unleash the cannon off the wing and score with the slapper.
Yeah, he'd right? probably go Brian Elliott on me and leave me with my ears ringing and my contact lenses out. That's for sure. Just yeah. for saying it.
Yeah, man, that was kind of, that's when you know there's a little velocity on the shot when it's coming in with that hard of heat and it's dislodging the contact. Now, interesting storyline of the goaltending in that game. Niemi and Lettinen, man, it's kind of been hit or miss from game to game. Lettinen was awful. Niemi came in and it was great.
Yeah, and I'd argue any time it's hit and miss that there's probably too much miss going on here. You can paint the picture, and we've talked about it, and I normally hate this cliche. You know, if you've got two number ones, you don't have a number one. I think that's, you know, I've often kind of rallied against it. But at this point with the Dallas Stars, I really find it hard to see a number one there. I mean, it's not all on Lettinen. There were some breakdowns there that, you know, you tell me, there were some tough goals that I don't know you expect any goaltender to have, but just the inconsistency between the two of them. And Niemi was good, but you got to finish too. I mean, and that's where I wonder if maybe the scouting report does change a little bit. I mean, that shot, the first shot, he made that fantastic right pad save. I think it was Troy Brouwer that couldn't get that rebound up and over that right pad. And no, that's 4-0 at that point. Now, that's got to be your book on Antti Niemi. You can't beat that guy, or 9 times out of 10, you're not beating that guy along the ice. Everything has to be elevated. If there's one thing Niemi does at a Jonathan Quick level, it's take away the bottom of the ice most times. So I do wonder if switching it up like that, in addition to sparking your own team, can maybe throw some of the scouting reports off for the other team for a short period of time. I mean, I know in the course of an 82-game season, there are guys on a team who pay close attention to what their goalie coach tells them about the opposing goaltender. But more often than not, they don't pay that much attention. They just kind of try to score the way they always try and score. I think that changes in the playoffs. I think those scouting reports do matter a little bit. And so when you go back and forth like that, especially mid-game, I do wonder if it can throw a team off a little bit in terms of just some of the tactics and habits and sort of mindset you want to have when you're trying to finish chances.
Before the playoffs started, you were not 100% sold on Martin Jones. You thought, you know what, maybe we'll see Reimer. He has looked very good in the first round. And so far, against the Nashville Predators, he's been pretty solid again. What differences have you seen from Jones in the postseason that maybe wasn't there or had you question some things in the regular season?
Well, let's be clear on one thing in the regular season. He was very good for stretches. There were signs of inconsistency at times, and it wasn't so much that he was inconsistent. It was the trends I spotted in his game in terms of what he was actually doing in his save execution and the way he was tracking and the way he was moving when he was playing well versus when he's not playing well. And down the stretch of the season, there were signs of sort of the slumping Martin Jones, the one that, you know, I mean, ended up with a .918 pretty much league average save percentage because of all the ups and downs. And there were signs of the downs. And I wasn't sure if he'd be able to get it back. And truthfully, even in the first round, Jason, there were signs to me still. But I think you got to give him credit. I know we like to think of it as sort of cliched and just sort of, you know, almost like, you know, 110% type talk when you talk about the calming effects of a goaltender. But I think there's something to it. And in Jones's case, being able to sort of stay level in terms of what he radiates or kind of what he shows has helped him kind of not buckle when there are signs of the bad and just kind of stick with it. I mean, there's not a lot about his game that's spectacular, and yet he's rarely out of position. Last night, I mean, 36, 37 saves, and yet looking back at it, I was talking with Chris Mason on Twitter, and obviously he's a little biased towards the Predator as an ex-Pred and current Pred color commentator, but you know, we're trying to figure out, was that a tough night? Was that busy? And I think, much like Braden Holtby in Washington, sometimes you can judge a goaltender thinking, you know, that night was easier than the shot total made it out to be. But when you look at it, it's because he was in position, because he's set, because he's not flailing around, because he's not frantic, because he's not Jonathan Quick or, at times, Pekka Rinne. Jones, you watch the positioning, and it's night and day from the guy at the other end of the ice. And so the movements are shorter. The distance he has to cover is not as much, and he rarely puts himself in a position where he has to scramble. So even though it hasn't been spectacular, and even though I've still seen signs where, you know, he's a little passive with the way he's reacting, he's sinking back and not moving into pucks, dropping first and then reaching as they're coming to him, he doesn't get himself in trouble. He never kind of takes himself out of the play, and because of that, he always gives himself a chance. So I'm still not sold that we don't see James Reimer before all is said and done. But you combine the way he plays in general with the way the Sharks are defending in particular right now, and I could very well be wrong. We could see him all the way into a Stanley Cup final and a long-awaited championship for the San Jose Sharks.
Kevin Woodley from Ingold Magazine, NHL.com, joins us talking goaltenders. Matt Murray is really the biggest question mark because he's got the shortest NHL resume, but he's looked pretty good for the Pittsburgh Penguins. If you were the Capitals, is there any way you would look to try to attack him differently to maybe see if you could get some pucks by him or get him thinking?
Well, the cliche, of course, is traffic and pucks at the net. And as much as that's a cliche, I think there are some specific trends in his game that you can target with that, especially on the power play. I think actually the way the Capitals set up their power play is playing right into Matt Murray's strengths. I'll tell you why. He moves, all goalies pretty much have a side that they move better to. For most of us, it's our glove side. It's kind of tied to the way our head moves and the way we track. And habitually, because it's a kind of a new thing to be taught, but habitually goalies move into their glove side with better rotation easier. Murray's the opposite. He gets better rotation to his blocker side. So when he's moving to his glove, he tends to get flat. So he comes across in straight lines and doesn't gain angle back to his post. He doesn't rotate. When he comes across on his blocker, he rotates into angle. So he's kind of moving and establishing sort of angle and squareness as he's moving into position as opposed to getting there and then having to square up. So that one-timer of Ovechkin's, I don't think he's afraid of that at all. It plays perfectly into his strengths and not against his weaknesses. And the Caps run that power play off the left wall, and so Murray's always moving to his good side, and that plays into his strengths. What they don't play into is some of his habits in terms of the way he moves and the way he tracks are lost when he has to deal with traffic, because you've seen that stance, right? You can kind of picture it probably if you've watched the games, right? Really hunched over. You picture him in his, you know, athletic save preparation stance, and you can't even see the Penguins logo on his jersey, right, Jason? He's so hunched over, and it reminds me of Price. It's really engaged and it's active, and he moves into pucks from it. When you get traffic and get the puck to the point, a lot of goalies will, like Holtby, will stay low and locked in that athletic stance and try and find pucks by looking around screens. Matt Murray's tendency early in his career to this point is to still try and look over screens. And because of that, he loses that engaged stance, and from there, everything kind of breaks down from there. He pushes to the ice with his knees rather than tracking down with his head. He opens up his torso, and it delays all his movements. If the puck hits a body or the puck hits him, all his lateral movements are now delayed just because of the way he's dropped, all set up by the way he looks over traffic rather than around it. So quick shots from the point on feeds from Backstrom off that half wall catch him coming up over traffic and don't allow him to get back into that engaged stance. The problem is the Capitals don't do any of that. Everything is designed to filter over to Ovechkin and, again, play right into Matt Murray's strength. So I know their goaltending coach, Mitch Korn, breaks down goalies as well as anyone in the league, and he'll be targeting some of these tendencies. You've already seen them go high glove. Matt Murray, you know, we talk about that hunched over position. You watch his glove hand when he's in it, though, and he kind of has the fingers up. The glove is pointing kind of straight up. That's a change he made during the season. He used to kind of have it in more of a handshake position where it's kind of like he's reaching out to shake your hand. Now he's got those fingers pointed straight up. That's designed to take away the top of the net, but he still kind of tilts and leans over to that shoulder, that left shoulder, that glove side shoulder, and he'll drop that knee first anytime he goes to the ice, and you've seen the Caps try and pick that apart by going high glove all the time. I think there are other tendencies, especially on the power play, that they've yet to try and pick apart. And it'll be curious, you know, knowing what I know of Mitch Korn and how he breaks down a goalie, how long it takes them to either pick it up, I'm sure they have, or actually figure that it's something they really need to go to town on.
Kevin Woodley joins us. Kevin, do you spend a lot of time with or watching the kind of the young goalies coming up? Have you looked at this year's crop of goalies in the draft?
I got to be perfectly honest. No, I just find that to get to the level, the attention I pay on the NHL guys and some of the AHL guys to be able to describe Matt Murray's game and tell you that the way he holds his glove changed during the course of the season just requires all of my time. So I'd be honest, I haven't seen a lot of the CHL guys, a lot of the draft eligible guys. I really do rely on my conversations with NHL goalie coaches and NHL development goalie coaches and what they see in their drafting. And, you know, again, not my words, their words. A lot of them aren't all that impressed with what we're seeing in the CHL this year at all, quite frankly. And as a matter of fact, I'm hearing more buzz about a junior A kid out of Ottawa, Colton Point, than I am about some of the top kids and the top-ranked kids in the CHL this year. And I think that speaks to several things, including lack of resources in the CHL for goaltending development, excellent goaltending coaches in the CHL in Canada, and most of them aren't being paid a nickel. They could all make more money working privately, and if you don't think that affects their ability to do their job in the CHL, I think it's a mistake. I've been on this soapbox before, but the irony of the CHL banning European goaltenders is, in some cases, it just sent them back home where they actually had goalie coaches who were paid full-time and in a position to than we have here in the CHL.
Yeah, that's an interesting one. I know that's a great topic for another day. So then sticking to the AHL goaltenders, I don't know, if we're looking at a guy like maybe like Garrett Sparks, or there's Justin Peters. We saw Korpisalo this year in the NHL. Who are the guys that you think are the closest to coming in and maybe being impactful goalies in the National Hockey League?
Oh, that's a tough one because it's a pretty deep list off the top of my head. But the one you mentioned there, and probably more so, to be honest, because I got to see him up close and personal training while he was in the NHL, is Korpisalo. And his patience on his skates and not committing too early off shot releases in tight. I mean, he may have one of the best sort of what I like to call the block-react thresholds in the NHL. Every goalie blocks at some point. The question is, you know, how close to your net before you feel like you have to block. And his threshold for being able to stay on the skates and wait for that shot to be released and read it before moving into a save is one of the highest I've seen. So he'd definitely be up there. Justin Peters is another guy that, a couple years ago before he went to Washington, had a .919 save percentage with the Carolina Hurricanes. Signs in Washington and kind of had a terrible year last year, but he's put it back together. He's a guy that, you know, again, for all the praise that Mitch Korn gets, and deservedly so, for the work with Holtby, with Pekka before that, and work with other backups, certain style guys don't seem to fit his preferences, and Justin Peters is one of them. Not overly athletic, but really good positionally, and clearly he's put things back together this year. So he's a guy that, you know, that a lot of people probably overlook because of last year's failings in Washington, but he's a guy that I still think can be a really good number three option that can step into the NHL should you need him and provide you with solid starts.
Woodley, always good to catch up with you, man. We'll dive in more into that goalie thing a little bit later on. We appreciate it. We'll talk to you next week.
Yeah, hey, the CHL thing, we got to schedule one for that because, as you can tell, I may have a few opinions on that one.
Yeah, hey, we love opinions on the show. That's what makes it go. All right, buddy, we'll talk to you next Monday. Have a good week.
You too. Take care.